All right, let's pray and we'll get right into the Word because we have a lot to get into. So, Lord, we love you. We're so grateful that we're saved. Grateful that we're born again. Thank you for Promised Church, Lord, this building. Thank you for this gathering of saints to do the will of God in the last days. We thank you for great strength today. A great daringness to do the will of God. That, Father, we'd launch out in this hour in a wild way to get the message out that Jesus is the same and He's coming again. Father, help us have a harvesting mentality right here before Jesus comes. We thank you for this church, a pool of Bethesda, a moving of a Spirit of God where waters can move and people can be set free, healed, delivered, quickened, raised up right here in this place. Utilize all of us in this room, Lord. May we all finish our course with joy. And Lord, we look unto you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you for this hour that we're so approaching your return. We thank you that we submit ourselves this morning to gather and to hear from you, to be blessed by your word. So we thank you for your great strength that you've given your church. So this morning, Lord, as we approach these truths, we know that you'll be magnified. You'll be honored. You'll be lifted up. Father, we'll leave the room with more of a reverence for you in Jesus. We thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, and everybody said amen. Amen. You know, right now, you're writing your resume for what you'll be doing during the millennium. I mean, it's kind of wild. Your life right now is basically preparing for the next dispensation. So we want to do what we're called to do right now. So let's get into some truths that show us how close we are, but also they kind of push us a little bit and motivate us to do what we're called to do so that we can finish this deal out with joy, with fun, with a blast, and all those messages you've heard. All of a sudden, we're functioning just like Jesus and don't even realize it. So go, if you would, to 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's run through all these verses. Look at verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 3. It's page 295 if you've got a Bible like mine. This second epistle, beloved, notice he calls you his beloved. I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you'd be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Interesting. He says here in the last days, the climate that people would be saying, hey, where's the promise of his coming? We've been hearing that all of our lives. And you see that kind of crept into the church. You know, I grew up in a home where my mom said, hey, the Lord's, in 1970, she got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. She said, man, the Lord's coming tonight. Well, I went to bed every single night. Lord, I love you. If you really think the Lord's coming soon, it changes your stance. Well, here he says the climate of the last days that people would be scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, hey, where's the promise of his coming? We've been hearing that all of our life. Well, you need to read the next verse. Notice what happens here. In the next verse, for this they're willingly ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. He just goes on to say there that change came when no one believed a change was coming. The flood came and nobody was out there going, Lord, send the water. No, they mocked Noah and thought he was crazy. So a change came with no one believing it. And that's the climate right now. People, they forgot about a change coming when no one believed it. It's kind of sad that Hollywood senses a change more than the church. They don't know what it is. They just think it's the end of the world. They know something's coming up. So every movie's about the weirdest, craziest stuff about the world coming to an end or vampires or whatever or zombies because they sense a change coming but don't know what it is. But we know what it is because we're not ignorant. That's why he said you got to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You got to remind yourselves that the Lord's coming back. Because in the day that we live now, the people don't come to church hardly, you know. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some would do, especially as you see the day approaching. So as we get into these end time verses here in a bit, we're going to get into some stuff that show how near we are. We'll get into the signs and everything. The purpose of this is, hey, for every time the Bible talks about the first coming of the Lord, there's seven times more about the second coming. Yeah. Paul talked about the baptism 12 times, coming of the Lord 52 times. It's the theme of the book. If you really know when the Lord's coming back, it changes your life. And what it does is it humbles you. You don't get real haughty. Yeah, let's see you come back. No, you kind of go, you know what I mean? Your stance changes. Because right now the man is so stiff-necked that there's got to be a seven-year period that's going to be so hellish that people are so hard-headed it takes them a while to go through some hell to make a change in their life. Well, I don't have to be here during that time because I've already accepted Jesus. Amen. And the purpose of that 7 years is to get Israel to receive Jesus as their Messiah. Just like Joseph was revealed to his brethren at the very end, Jesus will be revealed to the Jews right here at the very end. So I don't have to go through that period, but we're this stance that we take knowing that the Lord's coming back soon, it changes you. Really, and I want to get to my message here in a second, it's the two-minute warning mentality. I mean, in football, when you get the two-minute warning, I've never seen people go back to the huddle, I don't feel good. No. You know, can you imagine 2 minutes left and then you go back in the huddle, we got 2 minutes left, two-minute warning, got to score. I think I'm bailing right now. No, you don't have a bail mentality, you have an all-hands-on-deck mentality. So the preaching of the coming of the Lord is to get us in position and not be complaining about our body, not complaining about the atmosphere, but it removes all the complaining away. That went over real good. So it does. It just makes things how they ought to be. At the end of the race, you don't run slower, you run faster. So let's keep going here. Let's read a little bit more. Skip over to the, there's so much you could get into here at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. So man, he gives you a lot in that little setting right there, talking about the church age being a couple thousand years long. I mean, the Good Samaritan, he went to him and said, after 2 days I'll come back and take care of what he spent. He told Herod, you tell that fox I'll do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I'll be perfected. So you can see there's, hang with me, 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham to the first coming of the Lord, 2,000 years from the first coming to the second coming, 6 days. We're about to enter into that seventh day, that millennial rest. The earth is getting ready for the king to reign for 1,000 years. Wow. So there's some timing here and some issues that we look at that you can get real detailed with, and we will as we go, but let's read a little more. Skip over to verse 17. He gives us a little bit of a admonition here before we get into the signs. He says in verse 17, you therefore, beloved, that's three times he calls you his beloved. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before. Then he says, beware. Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now he said here, if you're not careful, you could be living right before the coming of the Lord, and you could allow the error of the wicked to keep you from your steadfastness. Now, what the 6 times the Bible talks about the rapture of the church, the climate, he tells the church, he's looking for steadfastness. That went over real good. Remember he said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, unmovable, always abounding in the work, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that you, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here he says, make sure you don't let the error of the wicked pull you away from your own steadfastness. Yes. Now how could you get pulled away from something you don't have it in the first place? Right. Well, I'll do Elvis on that one. Wow. Good night, everybody. Come on now. So he wants you steadfast. Unmovable, not moved by what you see, not moved by what you feel. Like nothing phases you. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror. Yes. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Where all those messages produce a strength in you to where you're not a weak Mickey Mouse deluded gospel Christian.
That's right.
Our gospel is a stout gospel. Wow, hallelujah. So here he's talking to us. It's a warning right before the coming of the Lord. All hands on deck, be steadfast. Unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. My daughter got us this little pen. She's 27. She's been to 28 nations. She's a missionary little girl. She got me this little pen and said, Jesus is coming, look busy. Well, you don't want to fake it. You want to actually be doing the will of God. I should have put that on a t-shirt, praise the Lord. So, but you know, when it comes to end time preaching, it's really the biggest trump card you have. The man picked me up on the rent-a-car bus yesterday. I thought he was going to be here today. He said he's going to try to come. He's not born again, but I'm going to get him born again when I go back to the airport. He wanted to hear about end times. I said, buddy, you need to come. So I started preaching to him a little bit. And he says, well, I'm into all these things. And I said, well, there's one place in the scripture where God said, I'll tell you how you can tell I'm God. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. No other religion can tell you the future.
That's right.
So it's kind of cool. You get into that, it's kind of like kind of a trump card, but you can't help it that our dad is God.
Yeah.
So with that, go over to Isaiah real quick, then we'll get to the signs, because I want to get to all the signs of the coming of the Lord, and it'll just bless you once we get into it. But go to Isaiah real quick for just a little bit, and then we'll go to the signs. Isaiah chapter something. I can't remember, it's 40-something. Isaiah chapter 42 or 46. How many so glad you came today?
Yes.
How many glad you're here? You're not in jail. Come on. Hey, church is better than jail. Come on. Never been to jail, but I'm guessing. Go to Isaiah 46 and watch this. Now, why do we get into this for just a minute? Ezekiel prophesied the exact year Israel will be made a nation. Gabriel told Daniel the exact year Jesus would come into Jerusalem. To the year. So see, God's like, hey, this is how you can tell I'm God. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Look at Isaiah 46. Look at verse 9. Remember the former things of old. I'm God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So he says here, this is how you can tell that I'm the deal. Now watch, I'll read you. My wife doesn't like this because I have duct tape on here, but anyway, it still works. This is the same. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. The first 10 names of the guys in the Bible. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death brings. Lamech means despairing. And Noah means rest. Listen to the first 10 names of the guys in the Bible. Man is appointed mortal with sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death brings the despairing rest. He gives you the whole plan of redemption in the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. He's like, you know what? You can kind of trust me. Everything about him makes you have more trust and more faith in him because he's watching over his word to perform it. Flawless. I mean, you talk about how flawless it is. It's almost, think about it this way. I did this in Kentucky. Hang with me for just a minute before we get to the signs, because the signs are so cool. We'll get into all of them. You know, of the 17 individual prophecies of the first coming of the Lord. Now, I know this is a lot of info here, but hang with me. Just cruise with me mentally. Everybody say caffeine. Hallelujah. you know, of all the 17 individuals, hang with me. You know, born of a virgin of the tribe of Judah, that was given up over 30 pieces of silver, had a messenger that went before him, John the Baptist. That was all prophesied. They gambled over his robe, crucified him, wore a crown of thorns, pierced in his side, buried in a rich man's tomb, all those raised from the dead. And didn't break a bone in his body. Of the 17 prophecies, you know what the odds are of that in one generation? 780 trillion times another 480 trillion. In science, when you get so many zeros after something, it becomes absurd. I said, I did this in Kentucky. I said, if you don't believe the Bible, you're a moron. Well, I said it in front of these atheists. I didn't know they were atheists. And they came back. That's the miracle. Here, I'm hammering them, but I'm like, hey, how much science do you need? If you want science, I can give you science. You know, if you want to keep going, I can go that route. And this is where God says, okay, you're so sharp, watch this. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Only a God can do that. Yeah. So we're blessed. I say that because a third of that book is about the future. Yeah. And so Satan doesn't want people to know that God can tell you the future because it proves that he's the deal. Yeah. So with that, go to Luke. Run over to Luke for a minute. And let's go through the signs of the coming of the Lord. These are the second coming. We know, maybe we'll get into it tonight, a little bit about the rapture, but there's two different events here. The rapture of the church, we go up to meet the Lord in the air. At the second coming, he bodily comes down to the earth. We come with him on horses. I mean, how cool is that? We go up in the rapture and we go to horse flying school. I mean, how we lean left trigger, here we go. I mean, how cool is that? I like motorcycles. I like stuff that's fast. I like jets, but all of a sudden we're going to fly on horses. So it's going to be a cool view of the second coming, coming back to the planet. Yeah. The Bible says that Jesus obliterates him with the brightness of his coming. No negotiation at the second coming. He just shows up. Woo, hallelujah. Mm. So let's get into the signs of the second coming, because right now you have stuff happening every week. You know, we do that update every week. There's stuff happening that point to the Ezekiel 38 war. You've got Russia going into Ukraine, going into Crimea. You've got ISIS. You've got all this stuff that's just amazing. So let's start with Luke here, Luke 21, and we're going to get into the signs of the second coming. Now, we know the rapture is about 7 or 8 years before that, so we know when you see the signs of the second coming, you're getting close to the king coming back. So let's run through these. Now, what are these four? I was in Temecula this morning, coming down to Escondido. I knew that I was going to exit on exit 29. I didn't freak out. I saw that, you know, 15 miles from there, I'm going to be exiting. I saw the sign, and, you know, Escondido, 22 miles. So I could kind of plan my departure from the freeway. I didn't go, oh my God, I'm never going to get to Escondido. I knew at 15 miles, it meant I'm going to be there in 10 minutes. because I'm speeding. Amen. Come on. So in other words, the signs told me how close I was so I could have some anticipation. I didn't just get to the exit and go, "Whoa, I'm off the road." No, I knew I had to slow down, turn my lane over. So I knew when I got... So the signs are to show you how near you are to your departure. And I've heard people go, "Well, you can't tell when the Lord's coming back." Well, if you can read, you can. Because when you see all the signs, it shows you how close you are, okay? And the verses they use of that day and that hour, no man knows. Well, he was talking to Jewish boys about the second coming. He's talking to you in the church. He said, "You are not in darkness that day would overtake you as a thief."
Yes. Wow.
So talking to us, it's a different mentality. So let's go to Luke and let's run through all these. And let's run through Luke chapter 21, run to verse 24. And let's go through this. Luke 21, verse 24. "They'll fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." That's a pretty bold statement. He says, when you see Jerusalem won back, time's up. Well, in the Six-Day War, notice it was called the Six-Day War, 1967, Jerusalem was won back. And here Jesus said, when you see the Jews get control of Jerusalem again, time's up. That's a pretty bold statement. When you see one event happen, you know time's up. So he's going to give us some more verses to help what he had just said make more sense. That's what a parable's for. Look at verse 29. Skip down to verse 29. Look what he says here. He says, "Look at the fig tree." We know that's the nation of Israel. And all the trees, they're prophetic nations that begin to be altered. Now watch what he says here. "When they now shoot forth or bud, you see and know of your own selves that summer or harvest is nigh at hand." Likewise, I like that word likewise. "Likewise, when you see these things come to pass." What things? Israel made a nation in 48. That's the fig tree budding. Jerusalem won back in 67. When you see these things, watch what he says here. "When you see these things come to pass, run into the hills screaming, and you don't know what kind of hell is going to come on the earth." No. "When you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Wow, he didn't say you'd wonder. Didn't say you would sense. Didn't say you'd perceive. He said you could see it and you could know it. Yeah. Let's go a little further. Verily I say unto you, this generation will not pass away till all is fulfilled. Boy, that's a bold one right there. He said the group of people that sees Israel made a nation of Jerusalem on the back, you're the group. Yeah. Now that's two of the biggest signs. I'm going to give you like 25 real fast. I mean, how many do you need? I mean, if there's a sign for McDonald's in 10 miles, you go, you know, in 10 miles, there's a McDonald's. All of a sudden, McDonald's, McDonald's, McDonald's. They're like, man, how many signs do you need about McDonald's to know in 10 miles it's coming? I'm going to give you about 25 real fast, but hang with me. Jesus says, you'd see this and you'd know this. Kenneth Hagin prophesied years ago about a spirit of seeing and a spirit of knowing that'd be on the church. Yeah. Let's talk about Kenneth Hagin for a minute. Just hang with me just a little bit. 1917, Brother Hagin's born. The Lord appears to his mother. I love this. Tells him to name him John. She goes, "I don't like that name. I'll name him Kenneth." How cool is that to argue with the Lord about your son's name? Well, you know, the same year he's born, Allenby flies into Jerusalem to deliver Jerusalem to the Jews. His name meant in Arabic, a prophet sent from God to deliver them their land. So the Turks, all these flyers were passed out. Allenby's coming. They turned the land right over without a shot fired. Same year that Brother Hagin's born, guess what John, supposed to be named John, wasn't named John. Guess what Hagin means in the Hebrew? One to go before to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. The Lord told his mother he would have a part in getting the earth ready. Not everything, a part in getting the earth ready for the coming of the Lord. Born the exact year that Allenby flies into Jerusalem. Now hang with me. Jerusalem, the Bible says, would be a cup of trembling for all nations. If you live west of Jerusalem, you read left to right. You live east of Jerusalem, you read right to left. Everything points back to that piece of real estate.
Wow.
The devil wants that spot called the Temple Mount. You can go up on the Temple Mount, flies everywhere. Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. Walk off the Temple Mount, no flies. The devil is so stupid, you don't even need a tour guide in Israel. I was there last year. You can see a real cool mosque. What happened right there? Well, that was where Jesus was beaten. There's another cool mosque over there. What happened there? That's where he walked on his way to the cross. What happened there? That's where he was raised from the dead. What happened there? That's where he went up into heaven. They put a mosque everywhere he did something important, trying to hide it. You can't hide what Jesus did.
Yes, that's right.
You can go into the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount, which is amazing. That piece of real estate, it says in Arabic, it's in a circle, "There is no Son of God, there is no Son of God, there is no Son of God." It's like, why is that? Because there is a Son of God. His name's Jesus, amen. So Jesus is going to come back to that spot, that piece of real estate, and the devil wants that spot just like from the beginning. I'll ascend to the sides of the north, and I'll sit on the throne. He wants that spot. Jesus is going to come back. The Bible says Jerusalem's going to be raised up. There'll be a great earthquake, and the water that goes near him, by him, is going to go out and heal all the waters of the earth. Just the water getting near him quickens the whole planet. And you don't have it near you. You got it in you.
Yes. Amen. Mm.
So here, this grand event is going to happen. The second coming of the Lord. The two main signs. The Jerusalem won back and Israel made a nation. Just huge. Think of the miracles that happened in the Six-Day War. Because I want to get to the other signs here in a second. I know I'm going fast. But the Six-Day War, what a cool deal. I mean, you got 80 Egyptian tanks barreling down on Israel. One Israeli guy said, you know what? I'm going to go out in style. I'm at least going to fire some shells at them. 80 tanks to one Israeli tank. The Israeli guy starts firing shells at the Egyptians, you know. He keeps firing shells. Next thing you know, the Egyptian commander gets out in the morning with a white flag. He says, I'm here to surrender to the highest ranking officer. And the guy goes, what are you talking about? It's just me. He goes, oh, no, it's not just you. The whole countryside's filled with tanks. Men dressed in white on the front of the tanks. You've been shelling us all night and we can't take it anymore. And you can Google the guys on YouTube. You can watch them interview him. He's secular. He goes, I don't even believe in this stuff, but something happened. Well, yeah, it's called Jerusalem being won back. There's miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle when Jerusalem was got back in control of the Jews. That's why Jesus said here, when you see Jerusalem won back, the time is up. And then he went on to say, when you see the fig tree bud, which what a miracle. I mean, the devil thought, I can stop the word from coming to pass. I'll kill all the Jews. Hitler, what was his deal? His book was called Mein Kampf, My Struggle. Guess what that word is? Jihad. So that's that same spirit thought, I'll keep the Jews from going back to their land. I'll kill all of them, but he couldn't stop them. Hallelujah. They were made a nation in 48. What a revival that should be for all of us. I mean, you can't have time to get into all of it, but what a miracle that happened when they were formed as a nation in 48. America had a great part in that. It's pretty wild how our little nation would do things over the years to be a blessing to Israel and how our nation was raised up. So I want you to remember these years for just a moment before we get into all the other signs. Remember 1948, that's when Israel's made a nation. Remember that. Remember 1967, Jerusalem's won back. So get those dates in your brain. Because Jesus said the generation that sees those two events will not pass away till all is fulfilled. I like what he said there. Likewise, when you see the fig tree bud. I mean, in Tulsa, where I live, in the wintertime, everything gets brown. The grass gets brown. The trees go down. Boy, in the spring this last year, all of a sudden, the trees started bud. It seemed like overnight, all of a sudden, everything got green. And you know what? I didn't see somebody go, hey, summer's not coming this year. What? Well, you can tell summer's coming. The grass just changed. The trees just changed. Jesus said, just as bold as you can be about a temperature change, when you see the trees begin to bud, when you see Israel made a nation and Jerusalem won back, you're the group of people that are going to be here when that happens. We'll get into more about it, but let's go through some more. The next one would be the Hebrew language restored. Okay, in our lifetime, 100 years ago, no one spoke Hebrew. Guess what they speak now? They all speak Hebrew. Google it. Never has that happened ever in history. When's it happened in our lifetime? Here, one man, Eliyahu ben Yehuda, he said, you know what? We're Jews. Here we ought to speak Hebrew. He came up with new words for fountain pen, for airplane, and now they all speak Hebrew. I was there in right after 9/11, and I actually was going to go meet with Ariel Sharon. I had some friends that got me into this deal to go meet with him, and I'm thinking, I'm from a small town from Louisiana. What am I doing? Going to go in this room. You know, I was nervous, and it's that room where the leather chairs are, the black and white photographs. You know, so I'm thinking, holy cow, I'm getting ready to meet with the Prime Minister of Israel. So I thought I'd get me a pencil with some Hebrew writing on it. That'd be cool. Grabbed the pencil, and it was made in Iowa. I thought, man, that's not cool. I wanted to, but you know, as I'm sitting there, I hear him walking down the hall, chemech, 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 I mean, speaking perfect Hebrew. 100 years ago, hardly anyone spoke Hebrew. Now, they all speak Hebrew. When did that happen? Your lifetime. So in your lifetime, Israel made a nation. Your lifetime, Jerusalem won back. Your lifetime, Hebrew language restored. Miracle. Never happened in history, happened in your lifetime. Next, Ethiopian Jews brought back. God did it in one day. 18,000 Ethiopian Jews. God sent this one American man known for running from the law. He was in Europe because he'd been money laundering and a drug smuggler. He's living in Europe, pays $30 million to fly these C-130s into Ethiopia, and he airlifts them all out in one day. Chuck Roberts on Headline News said an exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. Now, the book of Exodus was a pretty cool Exodus. remember the story of the horse and rider were drowned in the sea? I've heard people say, well, the water was ankle deep. It was more of a miracle that horses and riders drown in ankle deep water. Amen? Yeah. So you have a secular guy preaching about this Exodus of the Ethiopian Jews coming out. Because it happened in one day. I mean, how wild is that? You got all these people gathering on those planes. You had ladies having babies on those planes. They said, what do we put on their birth certificate? They're born in Egypt, born in Ethiopia? You put airborne. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't know where they were. So God brings them back in one day. One day. When did that happen? Your lifetime. The Bible says, right before the coming of the Lord, I'll bring them out of Ethiopia. So that's happened in our lifetime. Let's go through some more. The next, you got the revival of the Roman Empire. The Bible says right before the coming of the Lord, a revived Rome would come. That's happened in our lifetime, the United States of Europe. Guess where the capital is? It's in Brussels, Belgium. I've been to the Capitol building. You know what it looks like? The Tower of Babel. It has all these Nebuchadnezzar markings all over it. It has a molecule out front, a piece of art out front, which is a molecule of iron magnified. I mean, their thinking is to rebuild that system. We'll make our own way to heaven. No, you won't. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The name of the computer inside the building is called the Beast. Doesn't get any weirder than that. Amen. I got a coin. I left it in my hotel room. I got a coin from the EU. It's a euro, and it has the same symbolism from the book of Daniel on it right now. I'm like, man. So you got revived Rome happen in your lifetime. You got Israel made a nation. Jerusalem won back. Hebrew language restored. Ethiopian Jews brought back. Now you have revived Rome, the revival of the Roman Empire. In your lifetime, the Bible says right before the coming of the Lord, He would do these things. He would cause these things to happen. It would be signs for us that we're very near to the King coming back to the planet. Ooh, hallelujah. There's more. A fertility of the land of Israel. 100 years ago, Mark Twain was there, like in the late 1800s. He said, the land is so desolate, it will not support life. No one can live here. And now Israel produces 90% of the fruit for all of Europe. Think about that. Think about if you ate an apple, that's from New Jersey. Ate a pear, that's from New Jersey. Ate a banana, that's from New Jersey. How can something that small produce all this fruit? That's what the dirt so produces, it's almost bizarre. I got a Fast Company magazine, it's kind of like a Time magazine a few years ago, had David Lauren on the cover, Ralph Lauren's son, said, taking polo to the digital age. And there was an article in there about Israel's energy bonanza. They found more oil in Israel than all of Saudi Arabia. And I laughed, and when I was at Rhema, I went to Rhema in 1980, and Jim Spillman was a preacher there, and he said, hey, they'll find oil in Israel, quoted these verses from Genesis. This secular article had Jim Spillman's name and the verses he quoted years ago that they would find all this stuff in Israel. So God said, in the latter days, I'll cause the desert to bloom. You can go to the cornfields and they're decorated with roses. I thought, why would you decorate cornfields with roses? They said, well, the insects will go to the roses before they'll go to the corn. So everything just produces. I was on the Golan Heights, right up there where the north is, where Hezbollah just fired some stuff down last week. You got Gaza on the south firing missiles, Hezbollah on the north from Lebanon firing missiles. I was up there on the Golan Heights looking over at Damascus, and the grass was so perfect in Israel. I said to the guy, do you sprinkler this? Do you use Scott Super Turf Builder? He goes, what are you talking about? I said, to get my grass to look like this, I have to water it, I have to fertilize it. He goes, we don't do anything to it. The dirt is so blessed. The grass looks perfect. You don't have to wonder where the border of Syria and Israel is. You can sit there and go, there's Israel, there's Syria. It's just like that. And, you know, the Bible says that Damascus will be made, be removed from being a city. And I told my buddy, this was years ago, I said, hey, you guys are going to do something, or somebody's going to do something, going to nuke Damascus. He said, what? I said, well, the Bible says it. And, well, they used weapons of mass destruction this last year when people said they weren't using them, and then they finally found out they were using them. You got ISIS based in Syria, so there's a whole lot of stuff getting ready to happen there. So we'll get into that here in a couple minutes. Let's run through some more, though. You got all those?
Yes.
There's a lot there. Remember, Israel made a nation. Yes. Jerusalem won back. Yes. Hebrew language restored. Ethiopian Jews brought back, fertility of the land of Israel, revival of the Roman Empire. I mean, these are all drastic, radical, exact, precise signs of the second coming of the Lord. I tell you, one of the biggest ones is Aerosmith's lead singer, Steven Tyler, got saved. Hey, when Aerosmith's getting born again, the Lord's coming back. Come on, trust me. I heard people didn't believe me, though. I said, well, two CDs ago, they wrote one of their songs on one of the CDs is Jesus on the Main Line, Tell Him What You Want. Usually secular groups don't write Jesus on the Main Line, don't have that on their album, amen? No. Hey, let me tell you, when Aerosmith's getting saved, Jesus is about to come back. Come on now. Yeah. Let's go through a couple more, though, because I want to go to Matthew real quick. But let's run through a couple more. These are just things that are happening right now, even beyond just what we see in the Scripture. Just radical, 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 radical. Animal Planet Channel. Israeli ornithologist. Now, I wouldn't have known what an ornithologist is, but my brother was. Went to college for 9 years to study birds. My dad asked him, what'd you learn? He said, well, I learned how to play poker, praise the Lord. So he went to school for 9 years to study birds. He's an ornithologist, this Israeli ornithologist. This was 3 years ago. She got on there and she said, hey, it's the largest gathering of predatory birds ever in history in Israel. And I'm thinking, 172 different species of predatory birds. I'm thinking, dear Lord. She said, we don't understand it. Well, I understand it. Right after the rapture, you have the Ezekiel 38 war. God calls on the fowl of the air to come clean the land up. At the end of the tribulation, in Revelation 19, he calls on the fowl of the air to come clean the land up, to eat the flesh of captains, of horses, of mighty men. You've got the cleanup crew already in Israel right now. If they thought Noah was crazy, I mean, you had Methuselah was a timepiece, you know. Here, Enoch has a child named Methuselah. His name means, when I die, you all die. How'd you have a name like that? Hey, when I die, you're toast. I would have been checking on Methuselah, you know what I'm saying? How you feeling, buddy? You got food? Everything good? You know, how are your cupboards, buddy? Well, the very year that Methuselah died, what happened? The flood came. Well, even if people didn't believe Noah, and all of a sudden all the animals start showing up, you go, Noah might be right. You have animals in Israel, right? Google it today. They have predatory birds there that have come from Noah. They don't even know where they come from. So you got the cleanup crew. So, well, something's up. What's up? Jesus is coming back. Woo, hallelujah. You got, there's so much. You got the Temple Mount Institute. That's a group of Jewish guys for 25 years been going to school. They're not even saved yet. They haven't accepted Jesus as their Messiah. But they have something on the inside of them pulling them to go in there and go, I'm going to be in school for years to learn how to be a priest. And learned how to do sacrifices. I've been to the Temple Mount Institute. They have all the clothing. They have all the stuff. They have the menorah. It's a $3 million thing of gold. They're ready that right after the rapture, something's going to happen. They're going to rebuild a little makeshift temple. They're going to start having sacrifices. You have the group that knows how to do that already there. The only thing they lacked was the oil of anointing. And a few years ago, they found out where the Dead Sea Scrolls are. And they tested it. It's the exact ingredients from the book of Leviticus. So you have all this stuff that's like ding, ding, ding. The Lord's coming back. Let's go to Matthew, though, real quick. I got to close. I'm getting into too much. Go to Matthew 24. How many are you still glad you came? Yeah. Come on. How many are glad you're here, not in surgery? Come on. Praise the Lord. Church is better than a surgery. Look at Matthew 24 real quick, and then we'll close. Look at Matthew 24. There's so much because he's coming so soon. But look at Matthew 24. This is pretty cool. He gives you something that kind of is a switch. Now, going to the Gospels here, I love how Pastor Henry, we were talking about this before the service. You can't get your rapture doctrine from the Gospels. Amen. Because it's a mystery. It came to us in the epistles. What Jesus is talking about in the Gospels is all second coming. All second coming. I hear guys on TV, you know, one's taken and one's left. You know, the virgin with oil in their lamp. That has nothing to do with the church. I got the maker of the oil. I have him in me. I can do tongues and interpretation just like that because he's here. Yeah. I don't have to get oil in my lamp. I got the maker of the oil. Amen. I hear all these people going, if you're not ready. No, he's not talking about that. He's already purified you. Yeah. We didn't get into it there in Luke. He said, pray that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass on the earth. Yeah. I don't have to pray to be accounted worthy. I am worthy.
That's right.
Come on. As he is, so are we in this world.
That's right.
See, that mentality of we're not quite there enters into the church and you're saved. We'll get into more of it tonight, but let's go to Matthew 24. Run with me for just a moment. I want to get into this just for a second. This is so cool. This is right when he's looking up at the Temple Mount. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. The disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "See not all these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another shall not be thrown down." As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" Really, it's the end of the age. The world's never coming to an end. That's mistranslation of the Greek there. So Jesus didn't rebuke them. Notice what he says here. "Take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I'm Christ,' and shall deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, there'll be pestilence, there'll be earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." The word sorrows, there's the word birth pains. You ought to mark in your Bible from verse 9 over to verse 22 is the tribulation. So they said, "What's the sign of your coming?" He said, "Tribulation." Now, I wouldn't have said that because I'm a Holy Ghost Word of Faith guy. I would have said, "When you see the church operating in the glory of God and you see the power flowing," I mean, I'd have said, "That's when the Lord's coming back." No, no, he's talking to Jewish boys. He says, "Well, this is how you're going to be able to tell. I'm going to give you a road map." They got a road map that after we depart, they're going to go, "Well, the seals are getting ready to be open, the trumpet judgment, the bowl judgment." They'll be able to go to the map and go, "This is what's coming. Buckle up." They're very smart. A buddy of mine, a Jewish man in London, got saved. A buddy of mine got him born again. Tom got him saved. Owned half of downtown London. Gave him Brother Hagin's book on how to be led by your spirit. Yeah. Within a week, he said, "You know, I got kind of an unction to do this." And he goes, "Unction? What are you talking about?" He goes, "I know how to be led by my spirit." He's like, "What?" And within a week, he knew how to follow the inward witness. Amen. I've been in this all my life, and I'm still trying to learn how to follow my inward witness. You understand what I'm saying? So these Jewish guys, they're gonna go, "Wow, the church departed. 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to be raised up." And there'll be you talk about a platform to preach from. Yes. Those crazy Christians departed just like the Bible said they would. Yeah. So here Jesus said, notice this, there's five things about end times, and I've got to shut down. Five things. They're all good news. Don't be troubled. Don't be deceived. He said, "I will not have you to sorrow as others that have no hope." And he said, "I want you comforted." There is no bad news for the church. As much as people want to think, "Well, there's some bad news for the church," you're living in the worst climate ever, and you're in church. Yes. Somewhere, somebody prayed for you, and you said, "You know what? I'm going to go hear the Word." In the climate that you're in, you have to make yourself hear the Word. Years ago, my mom would take confession packs down to the pool. And I go, "Mom, we're swimming. We're not doing the Word." "No, we're not. We're confessing the Word." "Mom, I want to ski." I mean, if we're going to water ski, she's confessing the Word. Got confession packs. I mean, that psycho word movement, you were compelled to come to church. We stand in line for 4 hours at a Kenneth Hagin meeting, standing right there in the sleet and the snow. Tell people to stand in line for church now. Well, have you got enough good food? Have you got brownies? Have you got sushi? Have you got great coffee? You know, if there's not sushi or coffee, I'm not going to stand in line. So the climate of the day is exactly what the Bible said it would be. So here Jesus said, how you can tell that I'm coming. Now this is kind of a big deal, is because you'll see the you get to see the symptoms of the tribulation. Now, what is that? That's Islam coming to the forefront. That's the whore of Babylon. That's Islam. But hello. Doesn't get any bolder than that. No. And let's talk about this one thing, and then we're going to close. I've been preaching 40 minutes. I've been going a long time. Blood red moons. That's a pretty big deal. People get all freaked out about that. But, you know, this spring I was in Tulsa, watched the moon turn to blood, you know, turn red. It was awesome. I got to see it for an hour and a half. So cool. Guess when it is? You know, we know it's on Tabernacles. We know it's on Passover and on Tabernacles this year. Next year, Passover, Tabernacles, with a solar eclipse right in between them. Now, the last time that happened, that's called a tetrad. There's been other tetrads before, but the last time that happened on Passover and Tabernacles, guess when it was? 1967, 1948, and 1492, when the Jews were kicked out of Spain, the Edict of Expulsion. Usually it meant a war. So here, right after the Blood Red Moon, you had the Gaza War. So what does that tell us? I wish I could explain Jewish stuff real quick, but next year on the Blood Red Moons, they're on the Jewish New Year. They're on the end of a Shemitah year. It would be like for you and I, there's a Blood Red Moon on the 4th of July, on January 1, on Christmas, on Thanksgiving. We'd be like, wow, something's up. So see, God said that the planets would be for signals. Now, the signs of the times are all these things we've been talking about, but now God's going to signaling. It'd be like me driving down to Escondido. The sign told me 10 miles, and all of a sudden something starts flashing at me. 5 miles, 3 miles. I'd go, it got my attention. Well, a flashing light to wake you up. The blood red moons, I don't need them because I'm saved. I don't need a sign. I've got a witness in my spirit that says that Jesus is coming again. All these signs are just to back up that feeling you have on the inside that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming back to the planet. And it's amazing. People go, well, you're not supposed to know that. Well, if you can tell the signs, you can tell exactly where you are. In the Old Covenant, he had a whole tribe dedicated to understanding what? The signs, the times, to know what the children of Israel ought to do. Indicating if you don't know what time it is, you won't know what you're supposed to do. Israel is your timepiece. Why do you wear a watch? So you will be where you're supposed to be on time. You know, this one last thing, and then we'll come back tonight. My daughter is a cross-country runner. She was in high school, Lauren. She'd run every day. Man, I'd be on my motorcycle to keep up with her. Not a bicycle, motorcycle. So she's running every day, training for the cross-country races. And I remember I don't think I missed a single one. I was at every cross-country meet she had. There'd be a 3-mile run, and you know, the first mile marker, I'd be there standing there, you know, to cheer her on. She'd be running, "How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy?" She's trying to pace herself. Yeah. "How far, Daddy?" I go, "Lauren, you got 2 more miles. You can do it. You can do it. All that training's for right now. Come on, you can do it." I'd cut across the deal because I couldn't keep up with her. Had to cheat, you know. I'd get to the next mile marker. She comes running up. "How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy?" Lauren, you got 1 more mile. You can do it. I'm screaming there. "You can do it. You got 1 more mile. Well, you know, I'd run up to the next marker, you know, where it was. It wasn't a mile left. She'd see the finish line. She'd come running up. She wouldn't even say a word to me. She'd see that finish line, and that kick would come in her. All of that training was for right then. When you see the finish line, you get that burst, you run. So everything is about, there's the finish line right there. Come on. So all the messages we've heard are to get us to have a stance right here at the end that where we don't back down, we run faster, we run stronger, we're focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And come on now, this is it. Okay, I'm going to show you. People go, "Is this really it?" This is really it. I gave you like 10 signs. I can give you more. I mean, it's like, how many do you need? I'm not looking for reasons not to believe the book. I'm looking for reasons to believe the book. So we're very, 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 very blessed, man, to get to watch Scripture come to pass right in front of our eyes. Watch Russia move into Crimea. Watch them go into the Ukraine. That's the setup for the Ezekiel 38 war. I watched CNN and Fox on the map. It said nations that are going through all this turmoil. Libya's mentioned in the Ezekiel 38 war. Turkey's mentioned in the Ezekiel 38 war. Syria, Iran, all these nations that are getting ready to be very active to attack Israel, they're all like this on the secular media. It's because there's a change coming. We're going to be raptured. Ezekiel 38 war is called, really it's called World War III. And God steps in and annihilates 82% of Russia coming down on her. And God basically says, "I'm going to protect you." I mean, God moved Israel back to this little piece of land so he can court her and date her. Colleen and I were dating, and she was living in Los Angeles, and I was living in Tulsa. We were dating by text. I can't do that. I mean, how do you show emotion by text? "I love you. Hello." That, you know what I mean? So I moved her to Tulsa. God moved the Jews back to the land so he can court them. He can court them, and he's going to show off for them. When Russia comes down, he's going to take out 82% of them. And the Bible says that the heathen would know that he's God. Yes. Wow. I mean, it's just amazing that you and I are watching all of this be compressed into this very little sliver of time called the last part of the church age. And we're about to be caught up. We're about to meet him in the air. Man, I can't wait. Going to get me a brand new body. Woo, hallelujah. I'm the perfect weight. I'm just not the right height. Come on, man. My weight is awesome. But I just need to be about a foot taller. So we're all of a sudden, we're going to get us a brand new body. We'll get into a little bit of that tonight. We'll finish up with more of the signs. We'll get into the changes that are getting ready to take place. But just think of Anna and Simeon, how they were in position in the temple and doing what they were supposed to do with no fanfare. You know, I bet Simeon said, "Hello, I'm supposed to go into the temple every single day till I see Jesus." He goes in, don't see Jesus, goes in, don't see Jesus, goes in, don't see Jesus. You talk about an opportunity to whine. I'd go like, "I've been going to this crazy temple every day, don't see any Jesus." All of a sudden there came Mary and Joseph. He said, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation." So just doing what they knew to do, it's recorded in the book, and we praise them today because of their faithfulness. So let's be faithful. Yes. Let's do what we're called to do. Hallelujah. Let's just thank Him for just a minute before we go. Lord, we love You. Father, we're amazed that we're on the planet right before God comes back to the earth. Thank You for dying for us. Thank You for saving us. We're so appreciative, Lord, that we're born again. We're so appreciative of You giving Your life. We could never thank You enough for all that You did 2,000 years ago. And Father, with this season that we approach up into the coming of the Lord, we thank You for an explosion of gifts of the Spirit, explosion of heavenly activity. Father, there'll be a focus in our own hearts on heavenly action and activity, the moving of the Spirit of God in the earth through the believer. We thank You for cities and nations turning, neighborhoods turning seemingly in a day. We thank You for suddenlies, Lord. We love suddenlies, Father. We're excited to be a part of all of that. We thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.